I'll be reading from Romans chapter 12 now as our New Testament reading and giving just a couple simple observations after that. But Romans 12, I hope you'll turn to it. Love the habit of reading through the scripture that you have here. Notice the last word of verse 11, chapter 11. It says, Amen. Amen, which is something we say at the end of a sermon or at the end of a book. But this book didn't end. And it says in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many, many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. As you noticed in verse 36 of chapter 11, the one word right before this chapter, it looks like a benediction, in fact, from him and through him and to him are all things. It looks like the typical Pauline closing of one of his letters. But in fact, this is one of Paul's classic transition points. The therefore, that is the fourth word in this version in Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, is the classic thing that Paul does, especially in Ephesians, but also in Romans here, where he turns from, I would say, giving 75% doctrine, 25% application, and halfway through his letters or a little bit further in sometimes, he flips it the other direction and gives mainly applications with a little bit more theology. And this is one of those classic hinge points. The application, the so what, of the great doctrines he just preached. Verse 1's reference to the mercies of God summarizes the richest biblical content we can find about our justification through God's sovereign action, highlighting the righteous sacrifice of Christ. Because of those incredible mercies of God that he has outlined for, 11 chapters, and what many theologians would find this is their favorite part of Scripture. Because of all those things, okay, the so what, the application, the therefore, the action point, more than suggested by God's gracious salvation is what? Well, the first thing is I'm to present my body. And by that I think he means not just my physical self, but my whole self. I'm to present my whole self as a sacrifice, but not like the pagans do, jumping into a fireball. I'm supposed to present it as a living sacrifice to God. I am yours. You have purchased me. Whatever you want. God, as a living sacrifice, that's my life. This is true worship. And the holiness of that presentation of myself matters. So we don't say, God, however I am, you're just going to have to take it with all the clutter. Now, I want that presentation of myself across the days and the years of my Christian life to be a holy sacrifice. The refusal to be conformed to the world's patterns matters. I want to be more and more not indoctrinated by the world, but more and more indoctrinated by Christ. And the lifelong project of mind renewal and transformation matters. I want this word, and I'm so grateful that you've come tonight, that this word might continue to work on you and through you. What's one practical evidence that this largely inner work is happening? Well, Paul goes on to say, how I regard the body of Christ. Now, he's not talking about my physical body, either before or now. He's talking about this and about our prayers for that presbytery next to us in the congregation that I serve and where we're going early next month for a presbytery meeting in Colorado Springs. But it's also talking about Christians of like precious faith as we collaborate within our communities, and you know some of them. It's not the Reformed Presbyterian Church has all the believers in the world. It's not true. It's never been true. So the body of Christ is a very real thing, and how we regard that body is a test of whether we're offering our lives to God as this good sacrifice, His church. The call here is to humility, to consider how I fit in with all the other important members in their gifting. I'm not saying you don't matter. Of course you matter, but you matter just about as much as everybody else. You're special just like everybody else is one way to say that. We have different functions, but we have the same end, and it's to glorify God by fulfilling the ministry designed by our head, the brain of the operations, our Savior Jesus. And then it seems like we haven't hardly gotten into this chapter, but really what we have at the end is the most impressive litany of bullet commands in all Scripture, something like 20 rapid-fire commandments, so some of them stated in less than 5 words. Covering the gamut of our duties to this largely one another, but also to those who are outside the church. Duties to one another, duties to enemies, duties toward the poor, duties toward the high and the low, duties of rejoicing and weeping. It covers our relationship to things that are good and evil. This reminds us of one of the Solomon's great sayings, there's a time for everything. And there's a time for all of these in the body of Christ. So this is just a bare taste of this chapter that's been before you for all of your Christian life, and I urge you to meditate on it throughout the days. Let's continue in our worship of the Lord by singing. First of all, we're going to pray and then we'll sing. But Father, I do pray that you would do what your Spirit has always promised to do, is work on us through this word. And all the aspects of the word that we take up, even the words that we sing tonight together. And as the elder and I were praying beforehand, God, it is impossible even for Pastor Andrew to, by himself here, who knows this flock very well, it's impossible for him to know the explicit and precise need of each heart tonight. And so we're grateful, O Holy Spirit, even as you inspired this word in the first place, you will also illuminate it and give to it the punch and the application that each one of us needs tonight. And it's very likely that we are to understand that maybe salvation is a need. We also understand that everyone who doesn't need to be saved needs to be sanctified, and that's why we're still here. And so continue to purify us by this word. Some of us have come in disconsolate, and we need to be encouraged and lifted up by this word. Some of us have come in arrogant and proud, and we need to be humbled much and admonished by this word. And so I'm asking you, God, to do this great work which only you can do. But I pray as a visible evidence that you are working in the midst of this body, that they would take up these bodily commands, that they would see that they are part of one body fitly joined together by the head who's designed it well, and that they would be following the lead of the head and doing so together. There'd be a humble working for the good of the community where you've put these saints. And if they live at great distance, that they would continue the work out there as well. There are even commands here for how we interact with the wicked world around us. And it has to be more than just ignoring them or cursing and condemning them, but reaching out with the hand of grace, the hand of the gospel, to show forth the light of the glory of God, and that you would be bringing your own in as you will, day by day. And as we've already lifted our heads up to see the wider church, God, I pray specifically for the RTF board meeting that's going to be happening this coming weekend. Even here in Kansas City for the first time, usually an Indiana-based meeting, but really it's about the gospel getting into China and into the Chinese language, wherever there are Chinese speakers in the world. I thank you for 73 faithful years. I thank you for the Reformed Presbyterian Church's role in the beginning of RTF, and that half of the board is Reformed Presbyterian. I thank you that it's a good and solid ministry, and I pray for its continuing effectiveness. Thank you for the churches in China and even our presbyteries over there. We do not want to forget South Sudan, Pakistan, India as well, Cyprus, and our brothers and sisters in the Western world, including Australia, Scotland, Ireland, France, Cyprus. Bless Canada as they become their own independent presbytery and maybe soon a denomination. And bless those many churches in Central and South America that are reaching up to us as well for advice and counsel. And we pray that they would be strong in the gospel, as we would want ourselves to be strong in the gospel. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.